Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Top of the morning and welcome in. We are Grant and Danny, and you are listening to The Fan. It's Thursday, which means another week of NFL football begins tonight. Week 6, an NFC East matchup, very much relevant to the Redskins, the Eagles, and the Giants in New York. We'll get you a preview as we go along today. Big show planned for you. Excited to have David Aldridge on the program at 11 o'clock in 1 hour. Aldridge left Turner Sports to come back home to write for The Athletic DC, where he is going to cover and write columns on all things DC sports. So we'll ask him about that decision, but also a piece he authored yesterday on just how up and down the Redskins are under Jay Gruden. The fact that they cannot respond to wins with strong performances, and they always respond to bad losses with good performances. He's essentially guaranteeing a win against the Panthers.
Yeah, when they're down, they've performed well. That's been a thing. We mentioned this last week, and you can go into the history of it. They're now 9-15 after wins. They can flip their record after losses. They rebound well. They handle prosperity like I handle food decisions. But it's exasperating that they can't just kind of start building something, but they always seem to rally. The Redskins are a one-point favorite this weekend. I am baffled by that, by the way. Baffled by that line.
No sense. I heard that last night, and I thought it was wrong. I actually went and looked it up because I heard it on someone mention it on TV, and I said, that can't be right. And sure enough, I went and I found that line, and I said, they are one-point favorites. You get 3 points for being at home, which means Vegas essentially thinks that the Panthers are 2 points better than the Redskins. I don't understand that at all. If I was creating this line, I would have Carolina minus 6.5, probably.
Yeah, I would have said 5.5, but that kind of 4.5, 5.5. I could see anything in there.
They beat the Redskins handily every time they play them. This is a bad matchup for Washington and has been for years. Cam Newton is outstanding against the Redskins. Newton, 9 touchdowns, no picks, a 115 rating, over 100 rushing yards and 2 touchdowns in 4 games, all wins against Washington since he came into the NFL. And forgetting all that for a moment, more importantly, because the past doesn't matter that much, the Panthers are a lot better than the Redskins based on what we've seen so far this season.
There's that.
They come in with some momentum, won a game they didn't play great in with a 63-yard field goal. I don't get that, man, at all. We can get into that in a little more detail. Quickly wanted to let people know, though, Danny, Warren Sharp is on the show at 1 o'clock.
My guru.
He is one of the smartest football analysts in the country. He's perfect for our show. And there's certain guests, I think, that are better on other shows or that are good fits on, you know, by way of how they view football on various platforms. Warren Sharp is a analytically minded, number crunching, 2018 thinking dude. And I think he fits really well with what we like to talk about here on this program. So I'm excited to have him on at 1 o'clock today. And Devontae Smith-Pelly of the Capitals, who we will have on each and every week, all season long on Thursdays, will make his weekly appearance. We've got an appointment with him today at 1:30 right here on The Fan. Speaking of the Caps, they scored 5 more goals last night. They got another 3-goal win. They have gained 5 points out of a possible 6 through 3 games this season. Last night, they set their record for most goals through 3 games. They've got 18, averaging 6 per contest. 2 more goals from Alex Ovechkin, another from TJ Oshie. They're tied for the team lead with 4. At 10:45, let's get into Evgeny Kuznetsov.
He's become a star.
He's become a superstar.
That's more appropriate, superstar. The couple passes that he had last night, one where Backstrom just put a stick down on the ice and the puck went in because Kuznetsov looked off the defender, basically went like John Wall on the fast break, no-look style, and put it on the tape. The pass to Alex Ovechkin for the goal, just you just kind of go, if you're an opponent, you go, I don't know. What are you supposed to do?
Which one? The one where they were on the rush?
The one on the rush was gorgeous.
Or the absurd, I stopped with my back to the net and I fired it across center ice.
The one, the final goal that he passed to Ovechkin on the rush was just incredible. Incredible.
It was.
I mean, it was Magic Johnson type stuff. I mean, it was otherworldly. What an unbelievable player he
I'll
is.
I'll see you that. I'll raise you the other one. I thought the sexier pass was basically when I was screaming at him.
To shoot it?
What are you doing? Stop. Oh, my God.
Great play, great play.
That's literally what it was. But he's got a chance legitimately at the Hart Trophy as an MVP in the National Hockey League if he can play throughout the year like he did in the playoffs. And so far, postseason, Kuznetsov has been regular season Kuznetsov. But we'll get into that later in the hour. Let's start with this. Did you see that the Redskins had the day off yesterday?
I did.
So they didn't completely not work. They just kind of didn't work. They had a walkthrough. They got Tuesday off because you get Tuesdays off when you get back at 2 in the morning after Monday Night Football, which is what happened. Actually, they got back a lot later than 2 in the morning. They were flying out not long before 2 in the morning. They got back into their beds a few hours after that. So Tuesday, you're not coming into the office, understandably. You've got a short week where now it's Wednesday and you've got a game on Sunday and you just played. And so I think the thought around the league was, generally speaking, you do something on Wednesday, you get back to work. But Jay Gruden made the decision based on when they got back, based on, I think, how banged up the team was. Chris Thompson has bandages and all kinds of ice all over his body.
Jameson Crowder's on the injury report and nobody knew?
Crowder is hurt, got an ankle. Adrian Peterson dealing with a shoulder issue. They wouldn't have had a whole lot of guys at practice anyway. So Jay Gruden decided they were going to have a walkthrough yesterday. But what that means is they will have basically 1.5, you can say maybe 2 practices before they play the Panthers coming off of maybe the worst performance of the Jay Gruden tenure. I was listening to Chad's show yesterday, Chad Dukes versus the World 2 to 6:30 each day here on The Fan. And it sounded like Chad was not happy about the fact that they weren't practicing. But more accurately, all of his callers were furious about the fact that the Redskins decided to have the day off. And I got to tell you, I take the opposite side of this. I can't possibly work myself into a lather over not practicing on a Wednesday. They don't have that many healthy bodies after that game. I'm not sure what you really would have accomplished anyway. The types of things you've got to do to get ready, I think, are mental mostly anyway. There's not a whole lot in week 6 that you're going to accomplish by hitting in practice in one specific day. Like, if you never wore pads and you never practiced, I think ultimately that would become a problem. Eventually, your physicality as a team would wane. Maybe your tackling would suffer. I think one day when you're, like, hobbling out to the practice field, think about when we were at the park, just as an example, the day after the game, when we broadcasted after they beat the Packers. Think about all the guys walking through the parking lot that weren't even on the injury report.
Right.
Like, remember how Chris Thompson could barely walk?
Just ginger.
And you're like, look at him.
Like, doesn't look right, yeah.
That's what it looks like at an NFL facility the day after the park. It didn't weird me out at all because for years I saw that. Guys barely can move until Thursday or Friday after Sunday games, let alone after a Monday game. I am in no way perturbed or bothered or bristling at the fact that they didn't practice. But I think I'm in the minority on that.
I'm of two minds, and I'm not going to get worked up either way. My number one is, you know, sometimes when your team is down, going to the whip isn't necessarily the best way to do it. That's the old school way. That's the, everybody that's ever played sports at any level, when something goes bad, then the coach, let's recommit and rah, hat on a hat, and let's yell at each other. And maybe that's the way you do it. I don't know. There's also something to be said, though, for you guys are pretty down. You're pretty depressed. You've got to do this internally. You've got to work yourselves up from this low point yourself. Me yelling at you isn't going to help. So maybe I'll give you the carrot instead of the whip this time. I could see that, honestly. Whereas if when you come off a win, you win by 30 points and you're, you know, shucking and jiving, feeling yourself, maybe then I can be a little bit critical. Does that make any sense? It's kind of a new age way of thinking. So I don't mind that as much. The other side, though, instinctively, just as a fan who watched that disgrace of a performance, I want my pound of flesh. Does that make any sense? I can't have anybody feeling comfortable. after that.
Understood. I just don't know how helpful that is.
Exactly.
And I don't think it's a real thing. I will say this. If they had played on Sunday in New Orleans at a 1 o'clock game and got blown out the way that they did, where their doors are just absolutely blasted into smithereens, and they didn't practice on Wednesday, I would crush them for that. To me, that's unacceptable. The NFL schedule, basically your body is trained to, by Wednesday, or in this case, 3 days after the game, be ready to go back to work. That's today after a Monday game, which is why if they have a walkthrough today, I will absolutely go ham sandwich. I can't do that 2 days after the game and 1 day after you got back at 5 a.m. when they've got as many guys that are going to show up on the injury report as barely being able to get out onto the practice field as they're going to. Not to mention, though, I do think it has to be noted, and this is something that I've felt throughout the Jay Gruden tenure, that I don't know that he is hard enough on the team in general anyway. I think their training camps are soft. I think their preparation in the preseason largely is that of a team that has arrived, not of a team that has yet to do so. Well, and so that's where I think it's okay to form that opinion. But yeah, we should get into that in more detail next, and we should open up the phones on this at 800-636-1067. I'm completely fine with, and I actually think it's probably smart not to overdo it after that Monday night game with all the guys that are going to be at risk of potentially missing not only valuable practice time, but game time this week. Where are you guys at on that? Sounds like Danny is somewhere in the middle.
I don't have anything strong on this.
800-636-1067 is the number. 800-636-1067. We're Grant and Danny on the Fan.
EMP-180 weight loss, you guys. EMP-180 is different. Everybody has done this, right? As you've gotten further away from college or your metabolism has slowed down, as you've gotten older, your gut gets bigger, you don't look as good in pictures, your clothes don't fit right, you know the deal. You try to lose weight on your own, only to see it come right back. Get off that weight loss roller coaster with EMP-180. You lose the weight, but more importantly, you lose the fat. You keep your muscle, and you learn to eat in a way that fits with your individual lifestyle and schedule.
EMP-180 has improved the quality of my life in almost every aspect. The personalized service they provide is what's different than any other program I've ever experienced or seen before. They use qualified masters in nutrition, registered dietitians, an entire team that helps me achieve my goals, and they do it differently than they did for my brothers, who have both lost just about 70 pounds now in a few months on the program. They got experts who care. You can send them a text and say, hey, I'm going to this restaurant. Look at this menu. What do you think I can get? They'll answer your question. Invest in yourself. You're not alone. They'll invest in you as well. They got offices in Tysons, Rockville, Woodbridge, and a brand new location in Alexandria. Call them at 855-888-0180, 855-888-0180, or Google EMP-180.
And we all have to bounce back. And I know that the type of guys that we have, especially him, he will bounce back.
That's Jay Gruden meeting with the media yesterday in Ashburn. Welcome back, 106.7. The Fan, we're Grant and Danny. It was an abnormal day at the park in that the Redskins on a Wednesday, which is normally when you have your biggest practice of the week, didn't do that. They had a walkthrough. They did that after Monday Night Football because Gruden felt like he may not have had enough healthy bodies to get through the rigors of a practice that could help Washington prepare for Carolina. Matchup on Sunday against a team that's beaten you in the last four games you've played against them. Got a tweet here, Danny. Eternal Boar says, if you're hurt, don't practice. Healthy people should. So what? The carrot has not worked for 5 years. Look at the Pats. That always seems to work as they push themselves and they produce.
And that's the argument for here, and that's the one I'm going to make. So they've prioritized, clearly, with every decision they've made in Jay Gruden's coaching tenure, the attempt at health and sound body recovery over everything else. It's the same thing that the debate that they were having on Hard Knocks with the Cleveland Browns and their staff. Hugh Jackson sending up and going, when you're in this seat, you'll be able to make a different decision. Well, and the rest of the guys are going, these guys have to at some point play football, for God's sakes. And you're holding them out of everything all the time, holding. And that was his call, was to say, we need healthy bodies. That's the only thing that matters is healthy bodies. That's what they're trying to do. Now, my counter to that is twofold. One, no one was less healthy than you guys last year, so that didn't necessarily work. And two, look at what's happened. Look at the ups and downs. You know what I mean? Look at the valleys that have come. Look at the complacency that at times has set in, potentially through that culture. No, I'm not going to rail against ping pong tables and DJs on Fridays, but there is a letdown, it seems, every time you guys take a big step forward. Now, you rally the troops in a way that's commendable. That deserves credit there. But to get out of this 8-8 type bucket, you've got to be able to sustain some success. And maybe that comes from occasionally saying, I know you guys are in pain right now, but you know what? 31 teams don't give a damn about that. Let's go hard. Let's find a way to get something done today.
I think you can make your team tougher mentally from doing something like that. I do. And I think you can kind of have your cake and eat it too here in this sense. I think in general, while I don't love the word soft, particularly as a doughy, portly, know-nothing sitting in a studio and these guys are grinding and putting their bodies on the line
Absolutely.
Every week and legitimately risking the health for the rest of their lives.
For the record, nobody is softer than us.
Yes, that is fair. But I do think that comparative to the other 31 NFL teams, the Redskins are not in the top half in terms of how hard they're pushed, how difficult their practices are. My opinion for a long time is that Jay Gruden is exceptionally popular as a player's coach because I think he is very player-friendly. Because he played at a high level, both professionally in the Arena Football League and at Louisville collegiately. And I think generally when you do that, see Davey Martinez or Matt Williams, you can be a lot more lenient and friendly to players with practice schedule and things like that because you understand what it takes to prepare yourself. And I think you put a lot on the players to be pros and to get themselves ready in some ways. Here is where, though, I don't think this particular issue is a hill to die on. And I think that anyone that is overreacting or making a big deal of this, it comes off to me like a hot-taking tough guy a little bit, like, you know, a little Shannon Sharp, Fox Sports 1 take. And the reason I say that is, let's just say they went to practice yesterday. Alex Smith very likely would have been operating the first-team offense without his left tackle, his left guard, his right tackle. I'm not even sure about the status of, like, Sheriff, who was banged up a couple weeks ago, but I'll assume he would have practiced. At tight end, you wouldn't have had Vernon Davis. At receiver, you wouldn't have had Crowder, Richardson, or Doctson yesterday. So your first-team offense is what? It's Maurice Harris and Brian Quick. You know, your running backs, you wouldn't have had Peterson or Thompson on the field. You would have been practicing with Capri Bibbs. Are you really going to get a whole lot done installing either your game plan or preparing for the game with a bunch of guys that by Sunday are probably being replaced on the depth chart with the starters that weren't available anyway? So I think we've got to also be reasonable about the fact this is not a normal random week. Again, they got home at almost 6 in the morning, and they're still licking their wounds and getting treatment. And I think if people have been at a facility within the day or two after the game and just seen in general how players move around, or the fact that guys like Jerome Bettis couldn't go upstairs in his house normally until Wednesday after games, he would sleep on the couch Monday and Tuesday after Sunday games. There's just not that much getting done. There's a reason why the league day off generally is Tuesday. Because it's Wednesday before you start feeling better, which this week equates to today. Kyle in Fairfax, how are you?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, man.
I definitely agree with you on a this week basis. At the end of the day, going out there in full pads, and that, if that costs you having Jameson Crowder or Peterson or Thompson or Trent Williams on Sunday, that doesn't make your team better. You got to have your best players play on Sunday. The issue I had, because I actually called the Chad Duke show yesterday and talked about this, is when it's more of a Jay Gruden thing as a whole. It's when I heard that the Patriots didn't want to practice with the Redskins again because they weren't prepared. And what that tells me is that over 5 years, he doesn't seem to adjust to making his team tougher, which is why they continue to choke after a good week where they win, and they don't show a pattern of getting better. So, yes, this week I don't think it matters. However, if they come out Sunday and somehow they win and they're not that banged up, I want to hear that he's making some changes and he starts getting a little bit tougher and saying, you know what? I got to stop putting my team in situations to get to have letdowns every week.
Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. So to me, this is more the general point than it is the specifics of this week. Because you mentioned it, Monday Night Football, you got home at 5. Your schedule's all wonky as it is before you take a snap or do anything else. I mean, to me, this is the idea that you can't get anything done, I think I would probably take some issue with, but this is more a what's best practice for my most important players? What's my best way to get guys healthy? It's the same argument that you and I for a trillion years had with John Feinstein about the Steven Strasburg shutdown. He couldn't believe it. And the only point that matters in this whole thing is this right now, given our information, is best medical practice. No other argument should ever be made by anybody at any point in time. This is the best medical practice we have for the recovery of the player. It worked for Jordan Zimmerman. It didn't work for Chris Medlin. There's a reason they took divergent paths. Ask Matt Harvey about how these things work. Medical question. That's the end. This is more of a medical question than it is a preparedness question. What's the best way to make these key players the most ready for Sunday so that we can hopefully have a better week than we did this past week? And if that's the answer, that's taken for them priority over everything else. I wonder, though, if you still could have said, let's hold these guys out, and yeah, let's establish a pattern, a culture here where we do push through, where we do work on some things, even if it is Capri Bibbs, the lineman that you and I couldn't recognize, Casey Dunn or whoever, you know, lining up at left guard this week or whatever the hell else it is. I would love to establish that these guys are the toughest 53 on the field every time they take the field. I'd love to have a culture change there. And maybe it starts on a Wednesday, gutting through something. Maybe it's also just windbag. Maybe it's just empty calories. That
makes
any sense.
For me, that's more what it is. And like I said, I don't know what's right and what's wrong here. I think that during training camp, I would love to see what you're talking about. Because that's what the New England Patriots do. It's what a lot of the winning organizations
act as
do.
If, right?
But on a week where you just got waxed on Monday Night Football and you have guys leaving the field with separated shoulders and bum ankles and your quarterback's getting running backs blown up every three plays, I'm not rushing to get guys back out onto the field. I need as many guys as healthy as possible for Carolina. Not to mention, lest we forget, they just had a bye week. They have three straight months of football without a bye week uninterrupted now.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to go that hard in this first furlong as soon as you lose a game just to send some message when I got basically 3 months without giving these guys a rest now coming up. We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan. Tonight, Thursday Night Football, NFC East matchup, Eagles-Giants. We'll give you a preview next. End of the hour, Evgeny Kuznetsov is a stud. David Aldridge of The Athletic is on the show at 11 right here on The Fan.
The Redskins have a game on Sunday that they're favored to win. I can't figure out how they're favored, GP, but whatever. There's a chance they can win this game. Here's one that you can't win, credit card debt. These days, they'll include a little breakdown just to taunt you. They show you how paying the minimum means you'll be paying it off for decades. That's right. Your credit card debt with you for decades. With LendingClub, you can consolidate your debt or pay off credit cards with one fixed monthly payment. Since 2007, LendingClub has helped millions of people regain control of their finances with an easy, affordable, fixed-rate personal loan. No trips to the bank, no high-interest credit cards. At LendingClub, you just tell them about yourself, how much you want to borrow, pick the terms that are right for you, and if you're approved, your loan is automatically deposited into your bank account in as little as a few days. LendingClub is the number one peer-to-peer lending platform with over $35 billion in loans issued. Couldn't be easier. Do this. Go to LendingClub.com/Danny. Check your rate in minutes, and you can borrow up to $40,000. That's LendingClub.com/Danny. LendingClub.com/Danny. All loans made by WebBank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Reasoning is basically that they play really badly after wins and they play really well after bad losses. It's a case that the last few years makes easily for him.
I believe they're 14-6-1 after losses. Think about any period, any sample you've got about the Redskins. In prime time, they're 2-27. On Monday Night Football, they're now 2-15. Name one. The Thursday night football, they're bad. Sunday afternoons at 4, they're bad. Sunday night, any kind of sample, it's never kind to the Redskins. How about this one? 14-6-1 after losses under Jay Gruden. There's your positive sample right there. Telling you, they rallied the troops.
Tonight, Week 6 begins ahead of the Redskins and the Panthers. NFC East action will be played. The Eagles are on the road taking on the Giants. This is a huge game in the division for a couple of reasons. Specifically, from the Philadelphia perspective, if they win, you can say maybe they're back on track. They would, at that point, get back to 500. And through six games, they would be right where they need to be in the first-place mix in an awful NFC East. If they lose, though, they got real problems. If the Eagles lose to the Giants on the road tonight, last year's Super Bowl is officially utterly irrelevant.
Mm.
And we've already basically said this is not a 13-win team again. This does not look like a 12- or 13-win club. If they lose tonight, I think 10 wins is suddenly in question.
Yeah.
And now you start to talk about whether they're 8-8 and miss the playoffs, or if you can get hot like the Redskins have a couple times and get to 9-7 and kind of sneak your way in. But if you're a couple games under 500, six games in, with losses to inept teams at times like the Giants, I mean, you will have looked at their schedule at the end of the night if they lose, and you'll see two defensive stands on the goal line that have won them games.
Yep.
Where teams had a chance to beat them that aren't good, by the way, in Atlanta and Indianapolis.
Absolutely.
That's it. The rose is off the petals off the bloom, I guess, or however that stupid saying goes. Let me rephrase it in a way that makes more sense for people. Their defensive line's not playing like it did last year.
Yeah, that's the biggest difference. So to me, offensively, I am beating this drum, and I may go down with the ship, okay? Their offense is going to get right. At least to the point that they're scoring more than 20 points a game, right? That group last year that was so dynamic, that was so smart, that, you know, where Wentz was, you know, in addition to the regular schemed up stuff, was making superhero plays, going down the football field. They had enough weapons to do it. Ertz is transcendent. Aguilar is at times caught a bunch of passes and has been good. And Alshon Jeffrey, as he gets healthier, I think they're going to be good. I really do think they'll be better on offense. Where I've been surprised, as you kind of touched on, is how ineffective in moments their defense has been. And this is a night for them to feast against the worst offensive line maybe in the sport in terms of the New York Giants. I think this is a great get-right time, Thursday night football in New York. So I'd kind of expect that. I still think the Eagles are going, I don't want to say catch fire, because what they did last year, that's catching fire. That's a conflagration. That's all the fire departments in the world have to respond to the call. They're going to be better than they've been. They're kind of doing this thing where they're messing around, Super Bowl hangover, whatever you want to call it. I think there's going to be a little... I'll say late November, I think, is when they're really going to take off and get going. They're going to say, okay, guys, this division's here for the taking. We've got the pedigree. We've got the tools. We've got the talent. Let's go. But the longer this happens where they're just mediocre, because that's what they've been thus far, is mediocre. They've been just okay to this point. The longer this happens, maybe that's just what you are, right?
So here's the only problem I have with that is that you mentioned late November. So just looking it up, late November, they're playing the Saints. Late November, they're getting ready for a game against the Rams.
So to me, here's where I've got them pegged: Giants, Redskins, Cowboys in sequence. I think they're at that point, people have revealed themselves. They'll bank three wins right in a row.
Okay,
before
if
that,
they're really good again.
Yeah, before that, it's Dallas and New Orleans. At New Orleans, I don't like that. But the rest of November, I think they're going to end up with a 4 out of 5, 5 out of 6 type stretch.
I'm not willing to say that yet. I need to see a lot more from them between now and then.
I understand.
You're literally going off of that's what happened last year.
100% that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, I'm waiting on that. I think last year was fun for them, and it was a cute little story. It means nothing now. They lost to the Vikings this past week. They lost to the Titans. Shouldn't have lost that game 2 weeks ago. They should have lost to the Colts, or very easily could have 3 weeks ago. They lost to the Bucks, who aren't any good all of a sudden, 4 weeks ago. They have at no point put together one solid game yet. They've played 5.
100%.
So I'm not just going to chalk up 3 division wins against arch rivals in a stretch from 11-25 to 12-9. I right now would pick the Saints to beat them. I would pick the Rams to beat them, the two teams that sandwich those. So let's say they go 2-1 in that stretch. They're still 2-3 in those 5. If they don't upset the Saints in New Orleans, tough place to win, as we just saw, and upset the Rams on the road. But the Giants are a little bit more interesting to me because their schedule isn't quite as bad. They are far and away the worst team in the division. They're 1-4, and they've been outscored by 24 points comparative to, you know, the Eagles, who are -1 in point margin. But understand something. If the Giants win tonight, they're tied with Philly. As bad as they've been, as much as we make fun of them,
yep,
the Eagles will be in last place, and the Giants would be in third place. And in fact, the Giants would be tied with the Cowboys after Dallas very likely loses to Jacksonville. If New York wins tonight, I think you're going to have three teams in the division that are 2-4 and the Redskins in first place at 2-3 when next Monday rolls around.
Agree with that.
That's the most likely outcome, assuming the Giants beat the Eagles.
Yeah, if the Giants win tonight, because Dallas has Jacksonville, I believe, right?
They do, yeah. And they're going to lose that game. And the Redskins are probably going to lose to the Panthers. We keep saying the division's not that good. That might be an overstatement. That might be optimistic about this division. You have four teams that have scored less than they have allowed in terms of points. A combined now 42 points in the minus for the NFC East in margin. Just as an example, the Bears are plus 46.
Themselves, yeah.
The Packers,
the Rams are plus 75, I believe.
The Packers just got blown out. They've scored more than they've allowed this year in terms of margin. And they got beat badly by the Redskins 2 weeks ago. The Saints are plus 40. The Panthers are plus 13. The division for the NFC East is minus 42. It is a brutally bad group of four teams.
Yeah, that's
right,
a yard sale right now. I mean, to me, the Giants, if they could somehow pull this, I really want them to win tonight. I usually hate rooting for them. I hate rooting for all the NFC East teams. Just, you know, whatever. Let's pick your poison. I want them to limp along and think that they're okay. Does that make any sense? Like, what they should be doing right now is selling off pieces. They should be trading and getting themselves ready. They won't. But I want them to think that they got a shot for as long as possible.
They scored 30 points for the first time since, I believe, 2015 against the Panthers in a loss this weekend.
Yeah, that was a strange game.
Very much so. Graham Gano, shout out.
Thanks,
Panthers
buddy.
Beat the Giants.
Miss you, pal.
David Aldridge at 11, your next chance to win $1,000, a cash flash contest. We're trying to give you money. Comes up just after 11 o'clock in the update with Pete. Next, Evgeny Kuznetsov's been one of the best players in hockey to this point this season. How high is his ceiling? What is he capable of for the Capitals this year? We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan.
Down the wing, second unit getting on here early again. In now to the backside, Kuznetsov scores! A shot from the top of the right circle, tipped by number 92. It's a power play goal! It's 1-0 Washington!
Already the third power play goal of Evgeny Kuznetsov's season. The Caps have played three times. Last year, he had 7 power play goals all season long. It was John Walton on the call, as heard right here on your home for the world champion and defending Stanley Cup champ, Washington Capitals. We're Grant and Danny, and you're listening to The Fan as we welcome you back. Kuznetsov, through three games, has those 3 power play goals and 4 assists, which means he's got 7 points already. It's not just the points, but he's actually done a pretty good job staying out of the box, taking just 1 penalty to this point. 4 points on the power play. He's got 11 shots, 4 fewer than Ovechkin, 2nd on the team. Here is what is happening right now, Danny. Playoff Kuznetsov, which was what Kuz has always been capable of, what we've been told he was supposed to have been, kind of coming to fruition and bearing fruit at a perfect time. Playoff Kuznetsov has become regular season Kuznetsov. He has carried over the 32 points in the 24 games. I think there is now a use-by date that has expired on this. I'm not big on, like, saying things on air that were told to us off-air on purpose, but Barry Trotz is long gone. So I remember being at Kettler, and you and I were talking with Barry Trotz going into what was the season before the Cup. So this would have been 16-17.
Right, so 2 years ago.
And asking Trotz off air before he joined us on mic about Kuznetsov, and he said, he's the best player on our team. And I said, is Alex Ovechkin on your team?
Yeah, we both went, wait, what?
He said, no, Kuznetsov is our best hockey player. We need him to play that way in games. And I was kind of taken aback and thought, whoa. At times you saw that last year. I mean, at one point he was the number one star in hockey for a month.
Sure.
And in the playoffs, he was unequivocally the best Capital. He did not win the Conn Smythe. Alex Ovechkin did, and I'm glad that he did. Lifetime Achievement Award, and he was amazing too. Both were deserving. I thought Kuznetsov was a little bit more deserving. But Danny, last night you saw it all. The pass to Ovechkin to set up the goal with the creativity. He was a magician, kind of back to the net. The second pass on the second Ovechkin goal, through traffic, tape to tape, gorgeous. On the power play, his assist on the Nicholas Backstrom goal was
just
absurd.
Amazing.
His goal itself, timing, hands, there's nothing he can't do. He is one of the five best, most skilled, talented players in the NHL. He was asked about that last night. He said, I don't give a bleep about that.
Which was great.
Another of the reasons why I love Kuznetsov.
So the thing that I care the most about when it comes to this is, and it's going to sound like it's a hipster take, but bear with me, is the now this is no longer just the sort of European free skater who just wants to create offensively and do fancy passes. Because you've seen that in this league a trillion times. It's now the complete game, defensively accountable, great hockey player, right? It's not just the, when's it my turn to go cherry pick and play offense? That you may see from young players. I think the KHL breeds at times. Here's what you see: a guy that's now on the penalty kill. You see a guy that's now, he's never going to be, I don't know, he's not going to be Lars Eller back-checking for his living, right? He's not going to be slamming guys into the boards and doing a whole bunch of things like that, but he's now defensively solid, accountable. He's a full 360-degree hockey player, and he is their best player. He's one of the best players in the sport now because of that. That's always been the thing that to me, as much as I can't stand that, whiny you-know-what, Sidney Crosby's always been so accountable to me, like from the full scope of the rink, end line and beyond. He's always done everything, and that's what's always made him, to me, one of the best players, if not the best player in the sport, year in and year out. You're getting that same kind of commitment now from Kuznetsov because he's that talented, he's that gifted, and as he enters his prime, age 26 years old, I think you're going to see it this year. I think it's going to be a couple of the young guns, guys like Austin Matthews, if he's able to play a full 82 games, are going to put up absurd point totals. You're going to see Connor McDavid put up absurd point totals, if he can get through a healthy season. I think Kuznetsov's going to be in that camp too. I think he's going to blow past 100 points. Now, obviously, that sounds real hot takey through three games because he's got, he's
capable of that.
He's a 2 1/3 points per game. But I think he's going over 100 points this year for a number of reasons.
The key to that, it points in hockey in some ways remind me of runs batted in baseball. There are great hitters who are even really good with runners in scoring position every year that don't get to 100 RBI. And the reason is that you're not part of a good enough lineup. In the same way, the Caps used to have a couple guys get over 100 points, sometimes with ease. Alex Ovechkin has been up around 110 and 115 before. That was during the fun and gun, up and down the ice, early Bruce Boudreau days where the young guns were putting up five goals a night. They have played a different style over the last couple of years, and they haven't scored enough goals to have guys get over 100 points. But they're averaging six per through three. I don't think they're going to average substantially more than they did last season, let alone six goals, obviously, for the duration of a campaign. Nobody does that. But they scored seven in the first game, five in the second game, third in the game. They scored, seven in the first game, six in the second game, now five in the third game. I think they're going to score a little bit more than they did last year, it seems like. So if that's the case, then I think the points for Kuznetsov are going to be there. Another trend I love early this season, by the way, TJ Oshie has four goals. Oshie last year came way down with his goals.
Yeah.
And I was banking on him being back up around 30 this season because I thought, you look at his stretch last season, he went like almost 25 games, I think it was, at one point after his concussion where he didn't score.
He just didn't look right, remember?
He was not himself at all. He's already got four. He's tied with Ovechkin for the team lead. I think that's a really big sign for
him. I think he's going to go in spurts the way that he's been, where on the power play, especially, where you're like, I can't have the back door. I can't have Ovi from his office. I think that'll open up 77 for that quick one-timer from the slot a bunch.
David Aldridge runs and writes for the DC Athletic, doing some editing work and putting together a really cool operation in the nation's capital. He's got the Redskins beating the Panthers because that's what they do after bad games. We'll ask him about that next, right here on Grant and Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.